Brother Steve said he didn't want me to get rusty, and I think the last time I spoke was our farewell message before we got married, so it's been like 10 months, and I feel pretty rusty, so pray for me. But if you have your Bibles, turn to Jeremiah 18. Really familiar passage, I'm sure most of you heard before. We don't really have anything new or different, but it's always good to be reminded of something. And that would be Jeremiah 18, 1 through 6. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he brought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." So when Brother Steve asked me to speak, I kind of felt like I should share kind of some things that I've been going through. I feel like personal situations are always a good thing to express. It's a common salvation. I think we all kind of go through the same things. And I always get up to another. And so it seems like if you try to be in tune with God, no matter what you're going through in life, it'll give you some type of lesson for it, no matter what it is. And so me and Laura have been truck shopping lately, and it has been an absolute pain. And I don't really know why it's that way, but I guess for this lesson. But So the thought on my mind tonight comes from verse 6 that we just read. Cannot I do with you as this potter? That's the title of the message. And I think that's what God is kind of asking us all tonight. Can't he take us and form us just as a potter does the clay and make us exactly what he wants to be? And sometimes we go through difficult things and we wonder why it is, and then God has to remind us, can I do with you like I want to do? And so that's kind of what I want to speak on tonight. So back to the truck shopping situation. We've been looking for a couple months, and we found one that we really liked out of Keith, and we test drove it one night and wanted to think about it overnight. The next morning, we went to the ice cream parade in Utica, and we came to the graduation party. While I was at the graduation party, I called the salesman. Told him I was interested in buying the truck. He said, "Well, don't waste your time coming in yet because there's somebody test driving it. I'll call you if they decide not to buy it." So they called me back a couple hours later. Said, "These people decided to jump on it. We want this truck. Come in and fill out paperwork, get you out in and out real quick." So I gave some information on the phone to kind of get them started. And I stopped at home to take a shower. And obviously, I live real close to here, so it wasn't 10 minutes. And he called me back and said that people turned around and ended up buying the truck. So I was kind of bummed at how that worked out, but nothing just happens, so we just kind of let it go, moved on. And after that, Laura and I went to Easton one night for dinner, and we decided to look at some car places out in Easton. We stopped into one, and the salesman came up to us and started talking to us, and he said, "You guys look like some good Christian folk. Am I right about that?" I said, "Yeah." And he asked us where we fellowship, and told him the Church of God, different things like that. Well, I contacted the guy a little later about a truck that was on their website, and it ended up being something we weren't really interested in. But he called me back, and he's like, "I need you to pray for me." And he's like, "I've been called to be a prophet of God." And I was like, "Okay." He's like, "Do you believe God sent false prophets?" And I was like, "Yeah." My eyes, Brother Decker's a prophet. You have many prophets here in this camping, so I don't necessarily know that he's car salesman was a prophet or not. But anyways, for some reason or another, we had to run into him along the way. I don't really know for sure why yet, but that was another step in the journey. Kind of hope he's a better prophet than he was a car salesman. He was real slow getting back to me and stuff, and just didn't really seem too interested in trying to sell me a truck. But after that, we ended up finding a truck that was on that same strip, and we test drove it, and we were really interested in buying it. So next day we went to the bank, started working on the loan and stuff, contacted the dealership, and they sent us the purchase order over to the bank, and we told them when the paperwork went through, we could be there to pick it up. He said, okay, just give us a call when you're on your way, and we'll pull the truck around and fill out paperwork and get it all figured out. So the next day, paperwork was good with the bank. So we were leaving the bank, calling the guy, telling him to come pick up the truck. He's like, hold on, let me check on that real quick. He said, yeah, we sold that truck. And so I'm like, this is the second time this has happened, which I'm really starting to get annoyed. And it seemed like every time I tried to buy a truck, either like sold right before it got there, or like just wasn't what I wanted, or whatever it was, or just whatever it was, it just nothing was working out. And so I was just really bummed about it, and I was just kind of sulking and complaining about it. And I heard God clear as day tell me, haven't you learned yet? And that kind of hit me really hard. And because God said that, I said, all the different things that just worked out. Many times things did not come easy, but He always worked it out perfectly. And so I knew He'd work out the truck situation. Later that day, we ended up buying a truck that was perfect for us, but those words really hit me hard, and I don't think I'll ever forgive them. Haven't you learned yet? I mean, I felt really bad. I already had to apologize to God for just kind of sulking about it, because I know He's alive. He always has for me. But I think those words kind of relate to the thought of our message, cannot I do with you as this potter? Because God wants to make every piece of our life fit together perfectly. And verse 2 says, arise and go down to the potter's house. And so that's kind of what I want to do with this lesson tonight. Look at the potter. Go down to the potter's house and see the lesson that God has for us. First, it's important for us to understand who is the potter and who is the clay. Verse 6 says, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand. And that lets us know that God is the potter and that we're the clay. And why is it so important for us to understand this? Well, have you ever seen a lump of clay thrown down on a table and just make it something that what it's supposed to be? It doesn't work that way. So where the lump of clay, when we try to form ourselves, it doesn't work. We can never make ourselves what God intended us to be, what the potter intended us to be. So we've got to understand our role. And that's where the clay, both physically and spiritually speaking, because God made us from the dust of the earth, right? And I was thinking of the blind man that Jesus came across, and Jesus spit in the dirt and made mud, rubbed it on his eyes so the man could see. And so it sounds like He's pretty much in control of everything, but yet we try to form ourselves when God can take mud and make the blind man see. And God said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Think about that thought. Before we or anybody else knew of our existence, God knew who we were and who He wanted us to be. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. You personally, He has thoughts. He has plans for you to bring everything to pass good for you. So, but sometimes young people think that they know better than God. They think they know how they need to make themselves, what they need to be. And sometimes we've got to step back and remember who we are. Verse 4 says, so He made it again another vessel has seemed good to the potter to make it. Do we really think that we have the authority to challenge God of who we need to be? Because the Bible warns us time and time again against this, this kind of attitude. Romans 9 and 20 says, nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? I think a lot of times young people get discontented with who they are for whatever reason. But God has made you exactly what you should be. If you follow Him, He'll continue to form you into exactly what you should be. Isaiah 45 and 9 says, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherds strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, what makest thou? For thy work he hath no hands. So, every good lesson has a visual aid, right? Whenever you see a ceramic weird head of Abraham Lincoln, you're going to remember this lesson and remember how God wants to form you. and what he desires to be. You may never see another one, but somehow along the way you're going to remember this thing. You're going to remember this book. I made that back in my 10th grade in general class. But you can't strive with God because he's the potter. He says, you're not going to do you as a potter. Can I make you what I think is best? And this thing here, well, our scripture text talks about going down to the potter's house and you brought to work on the wheel. Well, this wasn't done on the wheel, but this thing has lips. And I don't remember one time this thing speaking back to me saying, you know, I think my ears look a little big. You think you can make them smaller? That nose just doesn't quite fit. You think you can change that? It has lips, but it never spoke back against me whenever I was making it. But what makes clay hard to work with? Well, obviously, it's not going to speak back, but it might get hard. Hard clay is very hard to work with. And I think sometimes people get so stiff-necked and stubborn and prideful to the point where God can't form them into his own image, the thing that he wants them to be. Psalm 32 and 9 says, "Be ye not as the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle." And I'm sure a lot of us in here have rode horses or been around horses, and you've probably seen a bit and bridle and halter. Obviously, we use this thing like that. Horses are very stubborn. They have to turn their neck all the way around to get them where they want, where you want them to go sometimes. God doesn't want us to be like that. A while ago, I was studying on a thought that came to my mind of cultivating a tender conscience. And it's very important to keep a tender conscience for God and for his leading. He doesn't want us to have to yank us by a bridle. Get us to go. He just wants to speak softly to us and we can follow. He said, don't be like the horse. Be easily guided by the Holy Spirit. I work in construction for ODOT. I inspect roads and bridges and stuff. So I work a lot around concrete. And obviously concrete is kind of similar to clay. When it hardens, it becomes very difficult to work with, very difficult to use. And we actually have a test method of basically putting a number on how much concrete moves, how easy it is to work with. And because back in the day, they didn't have all the chemicals and stuff that they have now, they kind of can delay the set of concrete and make it more runnier and stuff. It was basically just water and concrete to determine how wet it was. Too much water could weaken their concrete. But now we have things to delay, so that test is kind of obsolete anymore, but concrete's kind of similar, and it's very difficult to work with when it gets hard. Sometimes it can harden very quickly. But what else makes working with clay difficult? This one, like I said, wasn't made on a wheel, but in that class we did have the opportunity to work on a potter's wheel. And I thought it was kind of difficult. We didn't have much time to practice on it, but what little bit I did, I thought it was kind of difficult. And the biggest thing that they try to get through to you is that whenever you work on that wheel, you have to make sure when you start that the lump of clay is in the center of the wheel. Because if it's off just a little bit, and that thing gets spinning and spinning, it gets lopsided quicker and quicker and quicker, just because it's off that little bit. And I think that's the same way spiritually speaking. You got to make sure we're in the exact center of God's will. Because if we're deviating just a little bit to the left or right, this world will get spinning and spinning. We'll lose track of where you are, and before you know it, you're clear off course. You're completely lopsided. Completely out of God's will. It's a very well-known scripture, but that came to mind while I was thinking about this lesson, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Back to our passage in Jeremiah, it said that the vessel was marred. It didn't say what way it was marred in. Maybe it was cracked or really dry, maybe it was lopsided. But for whatever reason, it wasn't what the potter intended it to be. And so it says that the potter made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. We don't know, like I said, how it was marred, but one thing we do know is that the potter still saw potential in it. he saw that he could start over and make it into a completely new vessel, and it would fit whatever need that the potter had for it. And so I wonder if anybody here tonight just feels like they're a marred vessel. Feels like they're not being used in the way that God intended them to be. Maybe they're out of the will of God, whatever it is. God can take you and make you a completely new vessel. He can start over on you, make you a completely new creature. And he can make you what you were intended to be, because only he knows that. When we try to figure it out ourselves, we get off track because we don't know. And I've found that since I got married, you know, when you're in the youth group, you've kind of got your place figured out. You kind of know, you know who your friends are, all that kind of thing, what you do well and everything within the youth group. But when you get married, it's kind of different. You kind of like have to find your place again. And I kind of feel like that's been me here recently, just trying to figure out where my place is, what I'm supposed to be doing. And I'm just trusting to God to lead me and guide me to whatever that is that he wants me to be. And I think it's important, especially for young people, to always keep that in mind, that we just be trying to figure out where God wants you, what he wants you to be. So keep in mind the thought, do not I do with you as his potter. Maybe whenever you see an Abraham Lincoln head, you'll think of this message. So I hope it helps you somebody, and being good listeners.